How many people are late for work? Nice. We got one honest guy over here. But let's be honest, when you're paid, you better be there. What about the creator of the universe? Man, if I'm thirsty, if I need him, I'm praying that we would be so desperate for God that we're here at 10 to 10 waiting for the opportunity that now together, corporately, we can seek him with everything we've got. Because everything else is just so empty and so superficial, and we need something real. I need to know about God, but I need to experience him. That's what the psalmist, man, when information becomes experience. That's what he's writing here. I'm thirsty. Why is he thirsty? Because he tasted him. Where did he taste him? In the sanctuary. He tasted him when he had experienced God, when all of God's people came together. That's what kept David going in the desert while he was by himself. I think sometimes we drag ourselves to church and we like being by ourselves better during the week. It's supposed to be just the opposite. That we come here on Sunday, we're so desperate for God. And God designed it that we're going to experience him in power and glory when we come together like this and we seek him with everything we've got. So you know what? You're going to make it through another week, and you're not going to just make it. You're going to thrive. That it would be like waters overflowing, that you got to tell somebody. Tell you the truth, I've been going through times lately I don't feel like telling anybody. I need to just tell myself. I think God needs us, he desires for us to have so much more than that. We've been talking about this year about the responsibilities of our church organizationally. And then the last couple weeks, myself and Joel, we talked about the responsibilities of us as the church individually. And today I'm going to touch a little bit on some parts about the church responsibility organizationally. The church corporately. So we got organizationally, individually, and corporately. Organizationally, we want to just, and we are, you know, we want to take an honest look at ourselves and see, you know, where we've made mistakes and be honest about it and make some changes. And so we are. And like I've told you, we even got outside resource so we can get just a fresh person from the outside looking at our inside and saying, you know, I see this, that, and the other thing. I'll tell you the one thing that was glaring to me that I'm embarrassed about, and I've told you, is that I have never really put in place a process by which people can really be discipled. You know, it just kind of, people came in, they became a member, and you kind of hope they get in a small group and maybe learn and, you know, and come on Sundays, and just being more intentional about that. And so we said, you know what, we're gonna start with this thing. We got to walk before we can run. Let's start the first step. So we're going to have a Foundations of the Faith class. And quite honestly, we want everybody who's an official member of the church to take it and all those who desire to be a member to take it. And we'll run it a couple times so everybody will have a chance. And you know, sometimes when you feel something on your heart and you tell the congregation about it, and you know, I was waiting for one of those things to happen again. Like, here's what I got on my heart, you know? We should have a Foundations of the class class, and let's get signed up. And so Joel got the clipboard out, and I was waiting to see, like, four people on it, you know? Me, Tina, Joel, and Jody. And then, you know, you'd run it another time, and you start begging people to get on board with what you feel God has told you, and then maybe after 3 years we'll get through it. I want to just thank you guys. Really. We had almost 40 people there on Wednesday. You know how great it is when we unify like we're supposed to as a church? You know, do you have any idea how much power is in this room if we'll just unify? I'm telling you, and it's not just us. It's not just, you know, you get 40 people and TEAM, you know, together each accomplishes more. We have God. We have God in our midst. When you unify with the Holy Spirit at the center, listen, there were 12 guys, and they unified with Christ at the center, and they turned the Roman Empire upside down. What are we thinking? If we'll just get on our knees and be serious about this thing, do we have any idea the potential power that rests within us? Congregation, we're so busy about other things. We're working and we're racing and we're doing all these things, and God's waiting for somebody to just take those lousy nits and throw them down and pick up their cross and follow me with everything they've got. Will somebody follow me? He says, I'm waiting. And Psalm 133 says, how beautiful, how wonderful, how good and pleasant it is when brethren dwell together in unity. It's one of the most beautiful things there is. Now, I heard people say, I don't care. It was great. I tell you, I feel like God is showing us things. Who's supposed to be doing what? We're shifting stuff around. Joel was in his pocket on Wednesday night. That's where he's supposed to be right now. He thrives when people ask questions, not me. That's why I like to be up here. Don't ask me anything, because you're going to, I'll know I'd. He's, you know, Joel will go along, and it's like, okay. But when it really gets good is when somebody asks him a question. And then it really gets good. I think it was God that just worked it out. And Brandon's in place for the youth group. We've got somebody now. We've always wanted missions to not just be, okay, you know, annual meeting. Here's our missions, those five missions. Okay, we send them money. All right, let's go on. We want them to be an extension of our ministry. That you pray as hard for missions as you do for your own family. Because they need it, people. And I always wanted somebody, some of you might remember, gosh, I guess at this point it's about 10, 12 years ago, we had the Flashmans that oversaw this couple, their last name was a Flashman, they oversaw our missions, and it was great because we had somebody that had a passion and they would bring it before us on occasion and remind us, listen, don't wait till the annual meeting. Are you praying for these missions that God has given us the privilege of backing up, not just financially, but as their family? I got somebody that I asked, they are over the top passionate for being our missions overseer now. I'm praying that God's going to give us wisdom that we will really be a body. Really be a body. You know what that means? Again, it's going to be like coming to the gym, not the movies at this church. It's going to have to be. And each part takes its place. And it's going to be tough because I've just never been able to do it. But I am absolutely committed that each part, there are going to be no one is going to just be keeping these cushions warm anymore. We've all got to find our place, and we'll have systems. We're working slowly, getting things. We got the foundations, and then eventually we're going to have a process by which we can really help discern by the Holy Spirit, not just programs and human ingenuity. I'm talking about getting on our knees, okay? And asking God, what do you want me to do here? What is my place? There's a lot more to my life than just coming in here and hoping that the pastor can entertain me for 30 minutes and that Joel has some songs that maybe I like. God, I want to know, I want to be not part of an organization. I want to be part of a living organism. That God is in the center of the body of Christ, each one working in conjunction with the other. The living Jesus of Nazareth now has a body that's comprised of all these different people that are going out and bringing life where there's death. What is your part? Where is God brought you into this? You need to be praying about it. It's not just up to me. Well, let me figure out a test I can give everybody so I can figure out where to put you all. And we'll have some things like that. But if you're not praying, listen, we will never be any greater corporately as a church than we are individually following the Lord. I mean, really, that's kind of what Joel and I were trying to say the last couple weeks. See, it's important that we seek God organizationally, but it's also important that we are seeking Him as individuals. What's going on in your individual life? Because it's really going to be a disaster if we continue to just do our own thing and then expect God to show up on Sunday morning. This should be the culmination of our seeking and thirsting and desiring Him all week, and we finally get an opportunity to come together. And collectively, our passions are knitted together for whatever it might be, 60 minutes, 90 minutes on a Sunday morning, and it should be explosive. That somebody would walk in here and say, God is in this place. And it's about, it's not about some kind of disgruntled submission. I'm actually going to try and look at some of my notes here for a second. You know, God's, you know what Spurgeon said? Everybody here's got problems, man. We're all dealing with stuff. And as a pastor, I get to hear about a lot of that stuff. I get to see it laid out in my office sometimes in embarrassing ways. And it's very humbling for me because sometimes the stuff is so way over my head, I don't know what to do. And I feel like I'm sitting there like a deer in the headlights. But I know God is so much greater and able. And He brings the dry deserts. Just like the psalmist said here, he's thirsty. And he said, but I've seen you in the sanctuary. There's something powerful corporately when we get together. I've seen your power and your glory in the sanctuary. So he's seen that, and that's what gives him the power to deal with the desert by himself. And so he's walking in that place, but what is it that gives him the ability to thirst? Why is he so hungry for God? You know, sometimes I just feel like that, right? Like, God, help me to want you. Sometimes your want to is just checked out, right? You just don't, you know, you don't have it. You just, there's, the TV and the couch just look so much more inviting. You know what I mean? Than the prayer room and God, I want to be so hungry and thirsty for you, but I'm not. How did the psalmist become so hungry and thirsty here? I'll tell you how. He says it. He says, my soul thirsts for you. My flesh yearns for you. My whole being longs for you. Why? Because I'm in a dry and weary land where there's no water. You know why you have a problem? You know why you got something that is just maybe at times almost seems overwhelming to you? Because God loves you. As Spurgeon said, the mercy of God often rides into our life on a black horse. Because he loves us too much to just be comfortable with his gifts. He wants us to be obsessed with the giver of those gifts. Your love is better than life. Your love. You guys read Sarah Young's devotional? It's one of the biggest ones, right? So many people are reading that. Now, it's what's called Jesus Calling. And I came across that when actually Tina read it to me. And I just thought, man, here it is, you know, because we're all about trying to, you know, get our ducks lined up and solve all our problems. And it's a reality. We got to deal with the stuff that comes into our life. But here's what she said. She says, give up the illusion that you deserve a problem-free life. Just give it up. You're going to get rid of one and another one's just going to come riding in. You know? Part of us is still hungry for the resolution of all difficulties. That is a false hope, people. Jesus told his disciples, in this world, you will have trouble. You will. And then she goes on to say, link your hope not to the problem solving in this life. Because that's what we wanted to do. And listen, there's still value in that. But don't forget the overarching value on these things. We're all about problem solving. You know, we got the consultant in. What is our problem? We said to him. We still don't know what our problem is. Tell us what our problem is. And then I read this. It says, link your hope not to the problem solving of this life, but to the promise of eternity of a problem-free life in heaven. Instead of seeking perfection, which I always want as a German, and God just frustrates me. Man. I mean, I thought after 20 years, this place would be busting at the seams, you know, three services, and God's like, hey, stop seeking perfection. Hello? It's not going to happen. Instead of seeking perfection in this fallen world, put your energy into seeking Him, the perfect one. God is a lot less interested in our right circumstances, and He's so much more interested in our response to those circumstances. Whatever may come into your life, whatever may come your way. That's what He wants. That's what He's doing. And I'll just tell you, if we are obedient, it leads to joy. That's the crazy part. Hey, there are times when it's a painful process. But don't you forget, it's in His presence is the fullness of joy. See, Jesus endured the cross because of the joy set before Him. The cross took the crucifixion, death, lying in the tomb, that was days before the joy of the resurrection. There's no resurrections without crucifixions. We want joy instantaneously. I tell you what, after doing ministry for 20 years, after following the Lord for well over 30 years, I got to tell you something. You may not like to hear this, but I think God is much more into delayed gratification than instant gratification. He's not so interested in what it is that you want, but he's interested in what is happening to you while you're striving for what you want. And if you haven't graduated, he may just keep you in the desert for 40 years. He doesn't want you arriving, and you've heard this one before, but let me just say it again. He's not interested in us arriving at the right place as the wrong people. So he'll delay whatever he has to do so that when we arrive at the right place, we are the right people. And if he has to add an extra 40 years to it, I was going to say by God, and I said, yeah, by God, he'll do it. He will. He's so much more interested in character than comfort, all of those other things. And that includes our church. Just pursuing God and realizing that's your greatest joy. It really is. See, we get so involved in throwing all of our life and energies into this other thing. Why? Because we think that that's going to do it, but it won't. It's only God and God's presence that really fulfills us. John Piper calls it Christian hedonism, unashamedly. He says, I'm a Christian hedonist. What's that mean? Well, a hedonist is somebody who joy or happiness is they consider that their highest good. And he said, I have no problem with that kind of attitude when I know it's God's joy that I'm seeking. Because it's in his presence that happens. You know that line I use of his so often? God is most glorified when we are most satisfied in him. What are you satisfied in today? Because I'll tell you what, if it's not God, it's momentary, it's cheap, and it's not going to last. Just give it a little bit. Sure, hang on to him. Enjoy the gifts that he has for us, but make sure that they don't override the giver of the gift. And that's a tricky thing. Still work on it every day. You know, we're trying to figure out what do we need to do organizationally. And again, that's important. But then this morning, as I was praying, it just came to my memory, the book of Joshua, chapter 7. Joshua, you know, the physical often parallels the spiritual, especially in the Old Testament. When you actually see physical warfare, I think that parallels now we're in more of a spiritual warfare. But Joshua sent the armies out into the enemy's camp, and they got wiped out. 36 of them dead. When they sent the spies out, they said, it's not that many. Just send out a few thousand. We don't need to send our whole army. So they sent them out, and they got crushed, devastated. And they came back, and Joshua's thinking organizationally. It was our organization. We need to reorganize. We should have stayed on the other side of the Jordan. We should have never came over. It was our position and the way we were handling things. And God says, oh no, there's sin in the camp. People, you don't hear me talk like this very often, but I'm just going to say, is there sin in our camp? Of course there is. And God tells us what we're supposed to do collectively. We all know that, you know, we spent 3 months on the Ten Commandments. We all know we're not supposed to steal, okay? We all know we're not supposed to commit adultery. That goes for everybody. We all know we're not supposed to lie. All of those things. But sometimes the Holy Spirit says, yes, all of those things. But then he will say something to you in particular. For you, this needs to happen. And only you know what that is. Are you listening? I don't know what it is for you. Maybe it's watching too much TV and wasting precious time while it is still day. I don't know.
I'm going to say, maybe you drink too much. Greg, what are you saying that for? Because that's what God told me. I like wine. There's nothing wrong with that. But the Bible says, be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. You have a glass, that's fine. You have two. Three. Bottle. It's going to inhibit your ability to experience the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you. I'm telling you, for the sake of your own relationship, at the risk of sounding legalistic, which we love, I said that a couple weeks ago, we love to put the veneer of legalism whenever the pastor starts speaking like this so we can absolve ourselves from our responsibility that he's calling us to. And sometimes we just have to take stuff out of our life, and maybe not even permanently. I feel like God is telling me right now, and this really stinks because I brought my favorite brand of wine yesterday, so now the bottle's going to sit in the refrigerator for I don't know how long. See, Michael's already thinking, yeah, maybe give it to me, you know? Kendall Jackson. Roy's like, oh yeah, I like, okay, you can give it. Listen, I don't know how long. It may be a month. Sometimes, people, you have to take something that's... We got to be brutally honest. We just got to be really honest before God and say, God, what is it? And it may be overwhelming to lay it down. Start with this. Say, you know what? I'm going to fast this thing for a month and find out how important it really is to me. And that's what I'm going to do. And listen, I have, let me just make sure, I have no problem with being a fundamentalist when it comes to the Bible, when you get to that phrase in Timothy where it says, for your stomach's infirmities. But I also have no problem with it when it says, you know what? And maybe you need to fast with me for a couple months. And I may, you know, and I don't want you to be like, you know, oh, you see me around, glass of wine, ah! Because I very well may have a glass of wine. Now, God is saying, lay it down. And I want to listen to Him. Again, liberty in another month will. But I tell you, it's important. Whatever it is that might be hindering you, lay it down and you're going to find out how important it actually is. If it really bugs you, maybe you need to, could be exercise. You know, let's go to the other extreme, right? Maybe you need to lay that down for a little while and find out, is it encroaching on the priority systems of your life that God has dictated for us to all have? Just listening to Him and being honest before Him. And when we do that, people, we're honest before Him organizationally as the church and how we continue to change things and put things together. And incidentally, if you didn't make it last Wednesday, come on out, because we do. If you can make 3 out of the 4, we'll give you credit for the course. But I want to be honest before God how He's directing us to organize ourselves as a church, honest before God as individuals, and lastly, corporately, and this is a huge one. There's so many areas to talk about, which I won't do today. Next week, I'm going to pray what God wants us to look at next week. But for this morning, I want to just say this, like I started to say at the beginning, that there is something so powerful about corporate worship. There's different types of worship. It's our obedience is the greatest form of worship you could ever offer to God. But music ministry is a huge part of it. You've heard this before, haven't you? Let me just read it again. 2 Chronicles chapter 5, verses 12 through 14. Check this out. It says, "And all the Levitical singers..." And then it names them. I'm not going to try and read all those names. "And their sons and kinsmen, clothed in fine linen with cymbals." Interesting. Doesn't say organ. Harps. Yeah. We don't have that one yet, Joel. Maybe. "And lyres." Not breaking the Ten Commandments, of course. "Standing east of the altar, and with them 120 priests blowing trumpets." We're talking instruments. We're talking singing. "In unison with the trumpeters and the singers were to make themselves heard with one voice." There's that unity again. And what were they doing with their unity? "They were praising and glorifying the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice, accompanied by trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music, and when they praised the Lord, saying, 'He indeed is good, for His loving kindness is everlasting,' then the house of the Lord was filled with a cloud, so that the priest could not stand to minister because the cloud, for the glory of the Lord, filled the house of the Lord." Maybe you want to be here at 10 o'clock. It's biblical, people. Listen, it's important. Come on Wednesday. It says faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. We need to study the Word of God. It's absolutely imperative. You see preaching in the Bible. You need to hear it by preaching. There's all different ways, but there is something powerful the Bible shows us when we sing our beliefs. It's powerful. Probably one of the most important psalms, or at least one of the most revered classic texts when it comes to worship for centuries. The Christian church has looked at Psalm 95 as one of the classic psalms when it comes to worship and singing. And Psalm 95, it just starts out and it says, "Come, let us sing for joy." Did you hear that? I don't know, because it could just go right by you. It didn't say, "Come, let me." It says, "Come, let us." Come, let us sing for joy. The presence of God. There's a power in a corporate, musical unity when we come together and we sing together. Whether you like the song or not. Listen, we want to be sensitive. We want to worship with praise music and yes, to do a hymn and whatever it is. But should the overarching desire is we just want you, God. It's a vehicle to experience you and be empowered for your glory, God. So let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Look at all these let us's. Let us come before Him with thanksgiving and extol Him with music and song. Shoot, I thought it was going to say, "Come, let us come and listen to Greg preach. Come, let us go to the foundations of the faith class." Hey, it's in there. But I want you to know this is in here. Come, let us praise Him, extol Him with music and song. verses 6 and 7, let us bow down and worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. There's submission in worship. You're having a hard time laying down whatever I was challenging you? There's sometimes a power. I felt the power. I felt it when we were worshiping corporately. There's something that happens when we're together and we're doing this and we're not just striving on our own. I felt it come down and it gave me the grace to confess what I didn't want to say to you about how much I like wine and I need to get it in check. Really? He just wrecked me up here, man. God needs to wreck you. We don't just need right answers, man. We need a right spirit. That's what David prayed. God created me. Not right doctors. God created me a right spirit. Let us kneel before the Maker. Let's submit, for He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture. Why don't we do that? Joel, could you just come up here and let's try it. You know, we read this stuff in the Bible, and it's like, okay, that's cool, and then we head out. Because I don't know. I want this place to be a place where we are.